world. It's the one and only King Cofield, and I am here with my new podcast, Music on My Mind. And I'm happy that you're listening. This is the first episode, and I'm going to be uploading new episodes every Monday, anchor.fm/musiconmymind. I basically created this podcast because, as you all know, if you know anything about me, I am a music nerd, a music snob. Like, I go to sleep listening to music. I wake up listening to music. I'm at work when I'm supposed to be doing it, listening to music. Music is literally my life. I would love to be a songwriter, singer someday. I've always said that, but until then, I'm going to just talk about my love for music on this podcast every Monday. So I hope you join me every Monday, listen, and obsess with music and the topics that I choose to talk about every week as I do. Now, this week, I wanted to talk about halftime shows. And I know that the halftime show just happened. You know, the Super Bowl is currently happening right now. I'm, like, literally watching it as I'm talking. And I just got done watching the halftime performance. And I'm going to get into my thoughts on it a little bit later. But I just want to give a little history on the halftime show because it's been a part of the Super Bowl since the Super Bowl started. And I didn't know because I'm not even really a sports fan like that. But the Super Bowl has been around since the fucking 60s. And I am surprised of that because I'm thinking, wow, segregation in the Super Bowl. Like, it's crazy because I feel like the world kind of comes together on this day. And just to know that the Super Bowl was happening in the 60s when segregation was happening is a little funny. It's a little funny. But now, halftime shows are a tradition during American football games at all levels of competition. Entertainment during the Super Bowl, the annual championship game of the National Football League, represents a fundamental link to pop culture, which helps broaden the television audience and nationwide interest. During most of the Super Bowl's first decade, the halftime show featured a college marching band. The show's second decade featured a more varied show, often featuring drill teams and other performance ensembles. The middle of the third decade, an effort to counter other networks' effort to counter-program the game, saw the introduction of popular musical acts such as New Kids on the Block, Gloria Estefan, Michael Jackson, Clint Black, Patti LaBelle, and Tony Bennett. At the first ever halftime show during the Green Bay Packers' less than thrilling 35-10 win over Kansas City Chiefs in Super Bowl I in 1967, the marching bands from Grambling State, a historically black university in Louisiana, teamed up with the University of Arizona's band and played a medley of popular songs, including selections from The Temptations and the Jackson 5. Grambling State's musical squad became known as the world-famed Tiger Marching Band, and its six Super Bowl halftime performances remained the most of any band. Over the years, the list of school bands grew to include Texas, Michigan, Florida, Florida State, and USC, along with some select local high school marching bands. But Grambling State remained the standard, and the band served as an inspiration for the film Drumline. After decades of the Super Bowl halftime show being what the New York Times once called a roster of the unhip, with performers like Up With People and Elvis impersonator, Disney characters, and the Rockettes joining marching bands, there was a seismic change in the late 80s. The 1989 Super Bowl halftime show was the first effort to appeal to non-football fans with a performance featuring 2,000 dancers and an attempt to broadcast it in 3D. It didn't work, and in 1991, the halftime show started to resemble what we have today, with New Kids on the Block taking the stage. Fox, not yet an NFL broadcast partner, directly challenged the 92 halftime show, Gloria Estefan, Dorothy Hamill, and Brian Boltano with the live edition. That was so rude of me to say his name like that. Whoever that is, sorry, I don't know you, but damn, I don't know how to say that name. With the live rendition of this raunchy comedy series in Living Color, they basically tried to take some viewers away from the Super Bowl halftime show by putting on In Living Color, which is so interesting because take my black card away, but it's not even that funny of a show, so I don't see how it was so many people tuning away from the Super Bowl to watch that, but okay. But the ploy did its damage. CBS halftime rating fell 10 points from game action in the previous half hour. The league needed a game-changing artist who could appeal much more to 18 and 34-year-olds, and in 1993, Michael Jackson took the stage, and the Super Bowl halftime show would be forever changed. I I think that with someone like Michael Jackson being one of the first artists to like really do the halftime show as we know it today, it makes it such a prestigious thing. And I think that's why you have to be an artist that's in the game or in the industry for a long time to actually be able to do it. First of all, you have to have the hit. And then you have to have the worldwide appeal. And I think that is what the Super Bowl has tried to do. Sometimes I felt that they've gotten it wrong with people because I do feel it's a prestigious thing. And I feel that when you've been in the industry like 5 or 6 years, such as Bruno Mars, who, performed in like 2014 and he had only been in the industry since like 2011, it's like that was weird to me, but Bruno Mars has the worldwide appeal. So I feel that the Super Bowl is a prestigious thing because of Michael Jackson. When you really put it in the way that New Kids on the Block was the first literal performers at the Super Bowl halftime show, like the first like pop musical performers, it doesn't really make it as prestigious as it does when you say Michael Jackson was the first person. So I understand why they say like, oh yeah, New Kids on the Block did come in 1991, and then Gloria Estefan even came in 1992. But things did not matter until Michael Jackson in 1993. That was just so funny to me. One thing I will say about the Super Bowl is it doesn't really have. Okay, follow me. I just said it has the prestigiousness. You need to be in the industry a certain amount of years to actually perform. You have to have the hits, you have to have the worldwide appeal. But one thing it doesn't carry, the weight that it doesn't carry, is the fact that you actually have to be a good performer. And the fact that the people they've chosen over the past couple of years, it shows you that. And even since forever, I think that one of the biggest things about the Super Bowl that is such a letdown, or not the Super Bowl, but the halftime show, that is such a letdown is that everyone lip syncs. Why does everyone lip sync? And they don't even do it good. It's just really disappointing. And we all say that, oh, times now suck, music now sucks, nothing will ever be how the 90s were. But in the 90s, they lip synced and they did it so bad. We've seen performers such as Katy Perry, Madonna, Black Eyed Peas, Maroon 5 get up there, lip sync, half-ass. And I feel that it's kind of a slap in the face because, we've had such legendary people like Michael, like Patti, like Tony Bennett, like, Beyonce. We've had all these legends at the Super Bowl, Mariah performing the national anthem at 02. Like, we've had legendary people at the Super Bowl, and just to have regular performers do one of the biggest events in, history of America, it's weird. It's weird. So one thing I would like for the halftime show selectors to start thinking about is, can this person actually perform? They so bad want Rihanna to do the halftime show, but can Rihanna really do a whole 13-minute set? I mean, she's done it, yes, but can it be as thrilling as we expect the halftime show to be? The world may never know, because she doesn't even fucking want to do it. They've yearned for people like Taylor Swift and Adele to do it. They've yearned for people who aren't really even performers to do the halftime show. They've overglossed people like Pink, people like Janet Jackson, who really needs to come and fucking do another show. I don't know if she wants to do it, but fucking NFL, you owe it to her. I mean, really, you ruined the bitch's career. Why the fuck can't she have another chance like the goddamn white boy did? I'm just saying. But I want that to be something that is seen as, oh, I really have to work hard and put on a show when I'm doing the halftime show, not just go up there and mime words. That's my really biggest critique about the Super Bowl and the halftime show. I keep saying the Super Bowl, and I'm probably going to say the Super Bowl a lot during this episode because it is what the halftime show is a product of. So I'm going to keep getting it mixed up because, to be honest, I don't watch sports. I watch the Super Bowl for the commercials and for the halftime show. I am one of those people. Throw tomatoes at me. But I think I should now talk about this year's halftime show, which featured Shakira and J-Lo. And I was one of the shady motherfuckers that said, oh yeah, this motherfucking halftime show is gonna be shady as hell because J-Lo is a shady motherfucker, and that she is. That she is. I just knew that something was gonna happen, as in J-Lo's gonna try to go 2 minutes more than Shakira, or J-Lo's gonna try to go first, or something shady, because J-Lo doesn't like to share, as in Mariah Carey doesn't like to share when she was on American Idol with Nicki Minaj. I thought it was gonna be something like that, because why wouldn't you give J-Lo the entire halftime show, or why wouldn't you give Shakira the entire halftime show? It didn't make sense that they were putting these two together, but I think a lot of people forgot that they collaborated performers a lot in the past, and over the past couple of years, it only became a one-man show, a one-woman show with the Bruno Marses, the Madonnas, the Katy Perrys, that single, singular person. That was something that was like just introduced, and like, I mean, Michael Jackson is a one-man show, but most of the halftime shows have been groups, bands, a group of people, like, motherfuckers that don't do collaborations, or you wouldn't think would do a collaboration with this artist, is now doing it with this artist on one of the biggest stages ever. So, this isn't something that is like new, but it was just different for us. So, we all were having our opinions and our assumptions as to what was going to happen, and what ended up happening. Oh, wow. What ended up fucking happening was one of the greatest halftime shows I've seen. And I can't even make this shit up. I was literally sitting here, and what's so funny is because, I've been planning this show and I've been planning this podcast, for a couple weeks now, and I just kept thinking, like, I'm either going to be like totally hypnotized by this fucking halftime show, which I love being when I'm watching something. That's how I know it's good, when I just can't even take my eyes off of it. Or I knew that I would just be like totally bored and looking at my phone and come here and just diss the entire fucking show. But in any way, I cannot do that. Like, from start to finish, it was one of the greatest fucking halftime shows I've seen. And I think that the expectation is what is really having me like, this shit was amazing, because I did not think that Shakira and J-Lo were going to collaborate. I mean, they were collaborators, yes, on the paper, but when it came to being on the stage, I did not think we would see them on the stage together at all. And, to see Shakira started out, I was shocked by that, because I just knew, even though, it's a whole save the best for last type of thing that we can still get into, but I just knew that J-Lo would try to go first. I really did. So to see Shakira started out, it was dope as fuck. And to see how sexy both of these women were dressed was just something so invigorating, because we've been subject to either old white rock bands or like fucking pop stars dressed in like church garments. Like, that's what we've been subjected to since Janet's titty popped out. I mean, we're gonna talk about it, so let's just talk about it. I mean, in 2004, one of the like most watched halftime shows at the time happened, and a titty also happened. The funniest thing, and I feel like I always tell this story, when I was personally watching it in my house with my sister in my bedroom, we were both eating freaking butter pecan ice cream, and I'm just sitting there talking, running my mouth like I always do, running my mouth when something important is happening. And it happened, and my head was literally turned to my sister, and I'm just like, see her face react in such a shocked way, and I'm like, what the hell, what's going on? And she's like, I think I just seen Janet Jackson's titty. And it definitely was Janet Jackson's titty. Let's just say it like that, because it was a total fucking shitstorm behind something that is on a woman's body, that is on millions and billions of women's bodies. Everyone has these titties. Everyone has them, but people freaked out about it, and Janet wasn't invited to the Grammys, and Janet was blackballed from radio, and Janet was blackballed from MTV. It really put a dent in her career, but I mean, she's Janet Jackson, so it's really not stopping anything, and it really didn't stop anything. I mean, she still sold a hefty amount of records with the Demita Jo album. 20YO was a flop, but it was a flop because it wasn't a good album. Janet was still Janet. I mean, it is fucking corn. What is it? A fucking coronavirus season. I don't have the shit, and I will not get the shit, because I'm putting it in the air that I will not, and you will not get that bullshit. But when you hear me cough, know that all these motherfuckers is sickly, and I just feel like, goddamn, I'm catching something, but it's not that. But I It was just a really crazy like fallout from a 2 second titty. It wasn't even something that was like we didn't even focus on the titty. Like if you like me had your hair turned and missed it, you missed it. The only reason I would have been able to see it was because of YouTube. Like that's literally the only way. So I don't see what was such a big deal about it. I really don't. And I don't see why all the kids, at that time, why were you even the fuck up? School was the next day. So why were you up? Is my true question. But that happened, and Janet is Janet now, and we have the Janet Jackson Appreciation Day, which is still going on, and you can trend it on Twitter because it trends like literally every Super Bowl day, like every year. But it's just like, whoa. The pop stars have been like subject to wear like church robes on stage, Madonna literally did in 2012, by the way. But I just feel that this was like the first year in a long time where we got to see skin, where we got to see a pop star be sexy. Like, I mean, Lady Gaga literally came dressed as like a generic superhero. Like, Lady Gaga's halftime show was amazing, but her outfit was horrible. Her makeup was horrible. Like, I just hated it all, but I love the actual performance. Okay, Lil Nas X with a halftime commercial. That's so dope. I'm calling everything either a halftime or a Super Bowl at this point. It's a Super Bowl commercial. That's what it is. A Lil Nas X is in one. And there's an old white man with a mustache that is in it as well. And I know him from something, but I just can't think of it right now. But yeah, I was really excited to see how sexy the halftime show. I mean, we got Shakira like literally winding with the sexy ass rope, just winding down her body as she's winding it, along. And I just am like, this is just so fucking hot. And I just know Middle America is probably like crapping themselves right now. And then we got J-Lo coming out with like nothing on. Like, it was just, oh, it was everything I could have asked for. And just the lights, like everything from the production of that shit. To the now the vocals were not there. They were vocals because there weren't any. I did not hear anything. If you would have stopped the track, nothing, you wouldn't have heard nothing. And that's the biggest critique. And J-Lo had a lot of expressions that made it seem like she was singing. And I say that to say, why the fuck didn't she get that Oscar nomination? Because bitch, she can act her ass off because she was acting very well. Acting like she was singing because it's like, no, you're not. But the dancing and the flow, like of the performance, it was all so good that I'm not going to give it a pass because I just feel that if you're a singer, sing your fucking song. Like, why do you have to lip sync? If you sound out of breath, that's okay. We see that you're dancing, it's okay. You know what's really weird when you're dancing a whole bunch and then you're singing a whole bunch and you just sound perfectly normal. That's what's weird, not you sounding out of breath. But I digress. It was a great performance nonetheless, but I mean, Chris Brown has great performances all the time. And I say that to say he also lip syncs all the time. That's why he is not where the fuck he feels he should be. He's not on the Beyoncé level of performing. He's not on the Michael Jackson level of performing because he never sings fucking live. And when he does, it just does not sound how it should. And I'm gonna say it. I don't care. But back to the Super Bowl. Okay, I'm getting off track. That was, like I said, one of the best halftime shows. And I literally have a top 10 list that I'm going to go over of the best halftime shows of all time, in my opinion. And it's inaccurate. I'm just gonna tell you now it's inaccurate because I have to have this halftime show a part of that list. I don't know who's going to be thrown out. I don't know who's going to be moved down. But this halftime show has to be on that list because it was that fucking good. I'm a moderate fan of Shakira. Like, I know hits don't lie. I know whenever, whatever, which I don't even think she performed, which is like, girl, what? The first song, A Simple Americans Know You By, and you don't perform it? It's another song that she has. Objection, a sin and will be objection. A sin and your inflection. Trash on, but she's a fucking Arona. And in a And I know that's not how it goes, but you know what song I'm singing by singing the melody. So why wasn't that performed? I loved that video back in the day, and that song was amazing. I was a little salty about that. And J-Lo, I was a little salty you did not perform I'm Real. That's like your biggest song. I was shocked by that. You know, I understand that it was a collaboration performance and they only have like 13 minutes, 12 to 13 minutes, and that gives them about 6 minutes apiece, but damn, I just wish the songs could have went on just a little bit longer. Or can y'all just bump the minutes up for this performance? I know it's usually 13 minutes for a halftime show, but can we get a good, like a 15 to 18 maybe? Because I feel like Shakira and J-Lo are pretty legendary. Definitely legendary in the Latin community. So I feel that it, you know, it really wasn't big enough for them. It wasn't big enough for them. I feel that putting a collaboration between two artists together, it's cool, but one of those artists has to open up for the other. And I just feel that when it comes to those two, who can really open up for who? Because, yeah, you might say, duh, Shakira would open up for J-Lo, duh. But then you really have to think, like, Shakira actually has Grammys. Shakira actually sings. Shakira has fucking hits upon hits. Oh my god, what is that song when Shakira is, like, in the black paint in the video? She's, like, in black oil or something? I don't know, but that was a good song. Or it might have just not been a good song, but a good video. I remember a lot of Shakira videos for some reason. And barely remember the songs. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. But I do know, damn, where was the Beautiful Liar segment of the performance? Beyonce was there with Blue and Jay-Z, and she could have walked down on the stage in her green outfit and said, oh my god, Corona, like, stop. But, and I'm just kidding, like I said, I was just making a joke when I said it the first time, and I'm making a joke again, because I do not have that, and I will not get it, and you will not get that either. Matter of fact, it's a big sham. It's all a sham. This whole shit is a fucking sham. This is a music podcast, and I'm not going to talk about that. Let's move on. Beyonce could have walked down there in her green and said, let's not hear the karma, let's not start a fight. Someone on Twitter said she will not perform that because it's a song about adultery. Isn't it a song about Shakira being with the man and Beyonce being with a man and them not knowing about each other and a man is with both of them? So they're like mad at the man, so they're getting back at the man. How is that like adultery? Okay, yes, adultery on the man's part, but the women don't know and the women are the ones singing the songs. So build a bridge and get the fuck over it, you fucking fake woke motherfuckers. Yeah. But yeah, I was expecting a little Beautiful Liar, at least without Beyonce, maybe something, you know, a note, a melody or something of Beautiful Liar, because that's a lot of what we know by Shakira, whatever, whatever, Hips Don't Lie and Beautiful Liar. Damn, no Wyclef, huh? No Wyclef. Okay, so who the fuck was the guy? Was it J Balvin or was it Bad Bunny? I do not know. And why were they performing Cardi B's song? Was Shakira like the original person of that song that Cardi B sampled? I don't even understand what that was even about. Why that had to happen. You could have been performing Objection Tango at that time. What the fuck? So that was weird. And I think it's so iconic that Shakira literally steals crowd surfs. Because she's been doing that literally since like 01, 02. I remember she did it at the VMAs and she's been doing it ever since. I think that shit is so iconic. And one thing I will say is that this stage, god damn, you know, visually Madonna has such a great halftime show. But like I said, production wise and stage wise, I want to say this is probably my favorite. Probably my favorite. You know, and I literally just had a weekend of watching all the halftime shows from 93 until 2019. So, yeah, this was like the best Katy Perry's was her stage was dope as hell too, but this was like just top tier production wise. Like people who like want to be directors and shit, I know they were watching this shit and like fucking coming on themselves because it was just so many good aspects. Like one thing I think is weird though is when they keep cutting back and forth to like seeing the aerial shots outside of the arena. Why do they do that? It's weird because I get it because it's fireworks going off, but when they do it like six times, it then starts to feel like, are the artists doing something they're not supposed to be doing? Is J Lo showing a nipple? What's going on? Why do you keep cutting to the aerial view of this? This is weird. So I was just like a kind of annoyed by that because it is, only 6 minutes for both of these legends to perform their songs. So I need this shit to actually be on them, not on the fucking fireworks. But it was still good, besides that fact. But, people who like want to be directors and shit, I know they were watching this shit so fucking geek because it was just so many things that they could like take from this. Like the way that the camera just, oh my God, the way it was going back and forth between Shakira and J Balvin or Bad Bunny, because it's either one of them. But the way the camera was doing that, the way that the camera was just like showing Shakira's dancers, and then it was like just panning around, showing you that J-Lo's dancers are slowly about to come in and just shut it the fuck down. Like, all that shit was fucking iconic. And it maybe the collaboration thing is like a good thing, because I'm sitting here thinking like everything was happening so damn fast, and it was just like so thrilling to see it happen all so fast like that, that it gets me to thinking that maybe if we had collaborations like this every year, they would all be so thrilling and going back and forth, because that's one thing I really did want Shakira and J-Lo to do, was go back and forth, make it a real collaboration. But when you have artists that are legends and that are divas, you rarely would get something like that. So, I was just so shocked when, Shakira had did her thing, J-Lo came out and did her thing, and then to have Shakira come back out, I seen her playing drums, and I'm just like, okay, cool. Of course J-Lo would ask Shakira to play drums on her, set. That's a J-Lo type thing to do. But then, Shakira started performing Waka Waka, which is a song I do not know, but it got me hype. And, everything was just like so lit the fuck up in the crowd as well, and it just like was like exciting to fucking watch. And then they doing J-Lo's Let's Get Loud together, and they fucking shaking their ass, and they have legendary asses, so this is a fucking moment. And oh my God, that was a great halftime show. I'm not gonna say better than like a Bruno or a Beyonce or anybody like that, but hey, I mean, we can get to my list at this point because I feel like people are gonna throw tomatoes at me. I feel like this might be a show where people don't like me. Because I do have my show, The Royal Hour, which I host with my best friend every Friday. But I don't know if people will like me when they listen to this, when they listen to this show, because, ooh, bitch. It's some people y'all gonna be like, how the fuck is he before him? How the fuck is she before her? This is just my opinion, so I'm just gonna, preference that before we go into that. Before we get into the list, because I even found, some moments where I was like, God damn, I can't believe I'm doing this. Okay, so here we go. Okay. So, top 10 Super Bowl performances of all time. And, this might just have to be updated because I do feel like this J-Lo and Shakira performance has to go on the list some fucking where. But number 10, 1995 Super Bowl halftime show, Patti LaBelle and Tony Bennett. When I watched this halftime performance, I had so many questions. Why is Patti LaBelle doing this? Why is this a fucking Indiana Jones theme performance? Why is Patti LaBelle lip syncing so horribly? And then another set of questions arose when Tony Bennett came out. Now, I had all those questions, but these two legends are on the stage at separate times, and they both killed it. Now, they both did lip sync and they both did it horribly, but they'd had like these moments where they like just like, you know, hit these big ass notes, and it was just like, oh my God, these fucking legends were like fucking really legends, like back in the day. Like, oh my fucking God, this is Tony Bennett, like not in his prime, but bitch, he's fucking Tony Bennett, so he's always in his goddamn prime. This is just amazing to see. Like, so you know, that was great. And what the great thing about it was, like, the Indiana Jones theme shit was so, like, exciting. It was just as exciting as this fucking J-Lo Shakira performance. It was just so much movement going around. You know, you couldn't take your eyes off the screen. You're like, what the fuck is gonna happen next? So I feel like if they ever wanted to bring back the themed performances, you know, like where a movie is like the center of the halftime show, I wouldn't be opposed to it. I mean, I know it's kind of corny, you know, to have like Chadwick Boseman come out, you know, in this Black Panther outfit while motherfucking Alessia Cara is like fucking singing her fucking song, one song, you know, for like 12 damn minutes or something. But that shit was just so motherfucking exciting to see. And then, you know, Patti LaBelle came out and, you know, sang New Attitude after Indiana Jones, like save the day type shit. And she was still lip syncing. So I was just like, okay, what the fuck is this? But New Attitude is like one of my favorite Patti LaBelle songs. So I was just like hype as hell. And, you know, she looked so damn good. And then Tony Bennett came out and they like performed together. And it was just like iconic as fuck. It was truly iconic and it was exciting to watch. Number nine. Janet Jackson and Friends. Now, I think what's so funny is that when Janet Jackson performed at the Super Bowl, you know, her titty did come out, and Justin Timberlake is the reason it came out. A lot of people tend to forget that. But a lot of people also tend to forget that it was like four other people performing with Janet that was like on the bill. First of all, Jessica Simpson like introduced everything. And then you had like Diddy and Nelly and, you know, Justin fucking Timberlake. But it was just so weird that, you know, these people were up there and nobody remembers that because the titty just overtook the entire thing. Like, it's so crazy. But this halftime show was good. You know, Janet Jackson performed all the hits that we love from her. So I, you know, it was exciting. As a Janet Jackson stan, I loved the performance. Even when the titty happened, I mean, it was still a great performance. I'm not scared of titties. So, I mean, it was a great performance to me. I, thought that even when Justin came out, it was, you know, great. This was Justin, like, kinda in his prime. Okay, I'm not gonna say that because Future Sex Love Sounds is Justin's prime. I don't give a fuck what you say. The Suit and Tie album, what is it called? I can't even think right now, but it's not his prime. I mean, bitches will not keep lying saying it is. But, you know, that was like an iconic moment in his career, you know. And I don't mean that moment, even though it was like one of the most talked about moments. And I know he has to be so mad because he looked like such a damn bum. He was literally dressed in like something you could buy at Old Navy on the Super Bowl, where it's like 100 million fucking people watching. And it's one of the most talked about moments in his fucking career, and he was dressed like that. I know out of everything, he has to be mad about that the most. But I think that, you know, that was an iconic moment. You know, Justin Timberlake's first album, that whole thing was iconic. Like, his first era in music solo was iconic. And that moment was iconic because it was slaying. Like, his vocals were slaying, and him and Janet, you know, they were rumored to be dating at the time. So it was all slaying. Like, we were all getting our fucking lives, and then the titty happened. And it was just like, whoa. What I hated about the performance, you know, Janet's performance, is that it was cut up. Like, you know, she performed, then the, you know, Diddy came and Nelly came and all so on and so forth, and then Janet came back out, and that's when the titty took over everything. But why did that have to happen? Because I just feel like Janet's show would have been more iconic, and maybe the titty thing wouldn't have never even happened if Janet would have got her moment and then Diddy would have got his moment. I just, they weren't collaborating like Shakira and J-Lo did, so I just don't see what the point of it was. But that's number nine in my opinion. Number eight is Michael Jackson. Now, I know Michael Jackson is a legend. You know, he is Michael Jackson. I don't even have to go into that whole spiel. But his halftime show was not that amazing. And people don't even act like it is. You know, it's just something that I think people, because it's Michael Jackson, everything he does is amazing. But compared to other people's halftime shows, his halftime show is not that good. And I think it sucks that Michael Jackson is no longer with us because just think if he was able to give us a halftime show with the technology we have now. Oh my fucking God, just thinking of that makes me just angry. but also excited because I'm thinking about just how iconic it would have fucking been. I mean, the This Is It tour was like, my God, technology was being used that was not even fucking out yet. So just imagine how a 2012 halftime show for Michael Jackson would have been, or a 2019 halftime show for Michael Jackson would have been, or would be. Because, you know, the motherfuckers will try to do a hologram and put him on the halftime show stage next year. And I don't think I would be opposed to it. Because it's like, who the fuck else can we get? Who else? Since you know everything and you got your notepad, who else? Okay. But yeah, you know, Michael Jackson's halftime show was the first. So what it just it had it he created the prestigiousness of it. He is the reason why people have these big budgets for a halftime show. And I just feel like he should have been able to recreate that shit or redo it. Like Beyonce performed like three damn times at the fucking Super Bowl. Michael should have been at the damn Super Bowl again. Okay, period. I don't give a fuck. Should have been performing Scream with Janet in 97, 98. I don't give a fuck, but that shit should have been happening. But since it did not, he's number eight. Because, oh my God, he performed his hits for like 5 minutes, and then he performed all these goddamn Heal the World and Oh My God, the Kids Are Sad songs. And I do love that for Michael because, you know, it was like a fucking savior of this world. But I just feel like I kind of hate when the artists try to get sad on us at the halftime show or try to get, you know, it's just me when I say this. It's just me that feels like this, but I hate the whole inspiration shit. Like, can you just sing and dance and show us how to party? You know, show us that we want to party, make us feel like we want to party. Why do we have to heal the world and make it a better place for you and for me and for the entire human race? Why do we have to do that at this moment? But I understand because this is the most watched event. But I personally don't want to see that shit. So, number eight is MJ. Number seven is Madonna because Madonna, she had one of the most visually stimulating halftime shows ever. Just ever. Like, just from beginning to end, when the men were bringing her out on the chariot, to the end where the world peace sign came up, you know. Although I just said that I don't really care to see that. The way it happened was just so fast and it wasn't like forced on us in a way that it just was like super dope. And then she brought out Nicki, of course, which is like my queen, so I just love that. And she was like the first female rapper to. That's a lie. That's a lie. Because Queen Latifah did. She did, you know, come out in 98 and perform with the Motown tribute. And I don't know if she rapped on that show. I don't think she did. But I can't remember. But if she did not, then Nicki Minaj was the first female rapper to rap at the halftime show. Okay? But yeah, Madonna had a good ass halftime show. CeeLo came out and killed it at the end for her because, you know, she wasn't singing fucking live. And she just performed all her hits. I think that there wasn't a hit of Madonna's that I love that was not performed. Maybe besides Die Another Day because just that is one of the most underrated Madonna songs. That is also one of the most amazing Madonna songs. I do not understand why that song wasn't more of a success. It had a fucking iconic video. It was an iconic song. It was a part of an iconic movie. I mean, I just don't get it. And Madonna was still, you know, young enough to be played on the radio. And I'm not saying that that is even cool if that is a thing that Madonna has to deal with, but I'm just saying it is a thing. Like, she literally does not get played on radio because they consider her too old. So I just feel that, you know, oh my God, it's crazy. But I just wish that Die Another Day would have been performed as anything because I do love that fucking song. But everything that I do love by Madonna besides that song was performed. Now, I, as someone who was born in 1993, of course, had to go back to a lot of Madonna's material to re-listen to it and all of that. But when I say I love Erotica, I love the song, I love the video, I love the album, I love the era, I love the sex book. I love that whole moment in her fucking career. She totally fucking like act like she acts like that moment in her career did not happen. She acted like it did not happen at the Super Bowl, and I was just like, can we get a like a an instrumental to justify my love as you're like walking up the steps or something? Like, I'm just want something from Erotica because that was an iconic fucking moment in Madonna's career. But yeah, number eight, I mean, number seven is Madonna for the Super Bowl halftime shows of all time. Number six, the fucking queen of Motown and fucking music in the fucking 60s and 70s and 80s, bitch, Diana Ross. And that is shocking for me because I love dancing, I love entertainment. And Diana Ross, although gives us entertainment with hair and dresses and all of that, she doesn't dance and, you know, she has a good voice. You know, she got a cute little voice that you can sing around the house with, but I don't think it's nothing to be, you should be singing on the Super Bowl stage with. No, I'm totally kidding because she's a motherfucking queen, but you know, it is just a cute little voice. But she totally killed that shit. Now, Diana Ross did what none of these motherfuckers that perform on a halftime show do, and that is actually perform a lot of your hits. When you have a lot of hits, I think that you should be performing a lot of hits. A lot of these people forget songs, you know, and I hate that. Diana Ross literally performed like 12, 13, 14, 15 fucking songs. And I think that that was so iconic. And she literally was switching outfits as she was performing and just literally still standing on stage. You know, walking up, walking down steps, going up lifters, coming down, you know, dancers picking her up, doing this, doing that. Like it was exciting. And I just feel like when you watch the Super Bowl halftime show, that's what you want to see. You want to see something exciting. And Diana Ross's halftime show was like one of the most exciting that had ever happened. And it's just so crazy because I just always think of like one of my favorite online series, which is Gots to Be Real, which is just like a parody of all the old legends like Chaka Khan and Aretha Franklin, Patti LaBelle, and just all of these people just throwing shade at each other. You know, I think about this show whenever I see a legend like Patti and Diana and all of them. It's so funny that Patti did the 95 halftime show and then Diana Ross came and did the 96 halftime show. And although Patti slayed that shit, Diana Ross said, "Patti, I know you don't lip sync, but you did at the 95 halftime show. Guess who's not gonna lip sync at the 96 halftime show, sweetheart? It's gonna be me, Miss Ross, the boss." And I just thought that that was so motherfucking funny. But yeah, number seven, I mean, damn it, man. Number six is definitely Diana Ross. Number five, a lot of people may not remember, but in 2001, there was a motherfucking halftime show. And it featured NSYNC, Aerosmith, Mary J. Blige, Britney Spears. And when I say that shit was so motherfucking iconic, it was literally iconic. Now that this is like peak King Coldfield fucking has no life and is at home watching this shit. Or like peak childhood King Coldfield has no life and is just sitting home watching some musical related type shit. What kid do you know is just sitting there watching the behind the scenes, making the tour, making the show, episode of the halftime show? Like, what kid do you know is just obsessed to watch that? I was. I remember watching the fucking behind the scenes shit of that halftime show, and it was so iconic. And to see how much work went into that, they used so many new technology, you know, technologically advanced shit. They use so much new shit, you know, from the things that NSYNC used with the fireworks spraying out of their fingers and shit, from the aerial camera, the way it was moving, like all of that shit was like new, and it had just been introduced to the Super Bowl, and you know how they were shooting the football game and how they would shoot the halftime show. It was so new, and to see it put into it, you know, into the actual show, it was just so motherfucking cool. And I feel that anytime Aerosmith performs, they really do try to do a melody of musical, you know, genres. Like they have Mary J. Blige, who's representing R&B. Britney Spears is representing pop. You know, they're representing rock. NSYNC is representing boy bands, I guess. I don't fucking know. But, you know, they always try to do something like that when they perform that song. And I just think that that shit is so dope. And it just, I love seeing artists come together doing anything. So just, you know, when they perform that song and they bring a whole bunch of artists on stage or whatever the fuck, it's like super fucking dope. Like Nelly was on that one as well. And that is who I've basically forgotten. I'm so sorry because he was a fucking icon and still isn't fine as hell. So yes. 2001 halftime show was number five. Number four is Lady Gaga. You know, I'm just gonna say I was disappointed that Lady Gaga really didn't jump from the top of the building. Like I wish that she would have been jumping from the top of the building during the live actual performance, but she didn't do that. And it took so much of, how I felt about the performance in the end away from me. Didn't like the outfit, didn't like the makeup, didn't like the entrance, loved how she sounded singing Godless America, but girl, what the fuck? This is the Super Bowl halftime show where you're supposed to make fucking memories. And I feel that she was on track to make a memory with jumping in the fucking building, from the roof. But then, like, they exposed her ass when they was like, girl, you pre-recorded that yesterday. Quit playing. So, yeah, that's like part of the reason why I'm just like, okay, this is just like a regular performance that she would do it in a award show, So it was, and I'm not saying put your fucking life at risk. Only Pink does that. But it is the halftime show. I mean, so die a little bit, But I also feel that this is kind of one of the main people that did not perform so many fucking songs that I love by. It's so many songs that I love by Gaga, and I just was like, girl, where are they at? Like, for instance, I feel that Born This Way should have been performed longer. I love Judas. I love Paparazzi. I'm trying to think, was Love Game even performed? Like, did we even get to the Let's Have Some Fun? This beat is sick. I want to take a ride on your disco stick. Like, did we even get to that? She wanted to do this mashup at the beginning, and I'm just like, no, I want to hear my Paparazzi. I want to hear 23 seconds of Paparazzi. I want to hear 36 seconds of fucking Love Game. Like, I want to hear 12 seconds of Judas. Bitch, why are you doing this? And you're performing the shit that I do love, but really? Like, you give us like 1 minute of fucking Just Dance, and then you give us like 3 minutes of Million Reasons. Like, come on. Like, come the fuck on. She did slay a million reasons though, bitch, because I was just like, ooh, child, how she able to have all this breath and still sing, because she was singing live. Oh, but she was singing live. Like, there's no doubt about it. But she sounded so motherfucking good. Oh my God, I think Gaga sounded the best out of anybody that's ever performed at the halftime show. Period. And it's not hard to say that because a lot of the motherfuckers don't sing live. So I can stand firmly in my word and say Gaga sounded the best at the halftime show out of any other performer. Number three, Bruno Mars. And I literally had to go back and watch every halftime show because I could not remember whose I liked better between Lady Gaga's and Bruno Mars's. Bruno Mars, that shit, and that energy, my God. I can't even describe it. It was like James Brown meets Michael Jackson. Meets like Liberace with the glamour and the like eye poppingness, and then we get Red Hot Chili Peppers coming out, which was strange because I like when the collaborators that they choose to come out with, makes sense, which is why I was confused as to why the person who came out on Shakira and J-Lo's set came out at all because I did not know who he was, and what I did know about him, he was a collaborator on Cardi B's song, and I did not see her waddling any damn where in that fucking arena, so I don't know why she was even a part of this. It's just weird. But I like when the collaborators make sense, and I just feel like the Red Hot Chili Peppers didn't make sense. Like, why are they here? What songs have y'all done together? But it slayed so motherfucking hard that it's like, why would I even question this? I should be ashamed of myself for even fucking questioning this shit. So that shit was amazing. I just hated the last song. That was like my biggest gripe about Bruno Mars's shit was like the last fucking song. It's like, I just hate the slow shit. What J-Lo and Shakira just did by giving us like some shit to like just smile and just we going out dancing, bitch. That is what I like. Don't make me cry at the end. Why? Because we still got to get back to this motherfucking game and these funny ass commercials. So, no, I don't want to be wiping my goddamn eyes. Leave my tear ducts alone and just entertain me, please. Number two, Beyonce, of course. Now, she's my queen. She's our queen. And this performance was just. Ooh, child, like the stage. Oh my God, how it was like her face, and it was like the hair, and then like oh the light. Come on. Before this J-Lo and Shakira performance, that was the best production I've ever seen on a halftime show. Like literally, and it's still neck and neck, really. Because that, oh my God, and to know that that woman is a part of every step of that is what makes her just, that's what makes us bow, because she's literally saying, no, I want the blue light here and the red light. And I just think that that's so dope because it's all her mind. When you watch it, it's all her mind. I know that when Beyonce goes back and watches that halftime show, if she does, she says, like, why the fuck couldn't my body be in the damn position? And a lot, if you are a Beyonce fan, you know exactly what part I'm talking about. That shit is so fucking hilarious. But bitch, who even gives a fuck? Cause that shit still slayed. I think that the setup of songs, like the transitions in her performance, was so good. Like, cause it didn't like transition musically. It was like her talking through each one. You know, when Destiny's Child came out, when she basically shooed Destiny's Child away, when, you know, she got to Halo and, you know, she wanted to fill everybody's energy. Like, you know, I loved how it wasn't a musical transition, which I love too. You know, Ariana Grande just did like one of the best musical transitions at the fucking Grammys with her performance. But just, you know, to have Beyonce actually talking to us, which is something she does not do, you know, was just amazing. So I thought that all of that was cool. And you know, Beyonce always gonna give you like 100 in the energy department. So it's just like, you know, I mean, a lot of people are gonna say, like, yeah, that's the 2013 performance, but what about the 2016 performance? Well, that was not Beyonce's performance, first of all. And although the formation, you know, the first, like, the premiere of that song was at the Super Bowl, and I think that is one of the most iconic promotional things that a bitch could ever fucking do, it was not her performance. She was a, like a collaborator on it, which I felt was weird, even though her and Coldplay had a song. I felt it was so weird. And I still to this day feel like Beyonce was like, okay, so I'm gonna come out on your performance. Like, literally, I'm sure that they know who's performing at the Super Bowl in the music industry before we know. So I know when Beyonce was like, okay, they performing, you know they my friends, right? Okay, so I'm about to give Chris Martin a call. Ring, ring, ring. Hello, Beyonce. I see it's you calling me. What's going on? 'Cause you know he's like from UK, so that's my UK accent. Well, Chris, I wanted to let you know that I'm gonna be coming out and performing my new single, Formation. I heard that you got the halftime show, so I just wanted to let you know that's how I'm gonna contribute to it. But to be honest, I'm not sure how you heard of that. Yes, we are doing the show, but I'm not sure how you heard of it. It hasn't been announced yet. I'm the queen. I know things. I have people. I have friends. But I do have a new album coming out. You know, it's all about Jay being a bitch to me, and me exposing his bitch ass. And so I need to have my premiere song, the premiere of my song, be at the halftime show. During your performance. You know, that sounds wonderful, Beyonce. I think that that would be amazing. But could you also perform our hit song? We got a song together. You know, we do have a song together. And I'm just gonna have to break character because I really don't even remember what the fuck the name of the song is between with Coldplay and Beyonce. What is the name of that song? Bitch. Oh, it's gonna make me so mad. I have to know. Oh, my best friend Tanaya just texted me and said, bitch, you seen them Calvin Harris nudes? Calvin Harris had nudes? Now, this is another reason to stop the show now. Come on. And as we go to the intermission, I need to find these pictures. I'm totally kidding. I'm really just searching up the song because I want to know what's him for the weekend. Yes, because I knew it was like, I'm like, it's something about a day, and it's something like a weird, and him, it's always been a weird word to me because it reminds me of hummus. So yeah, that was weird. But yeah, that was crazy that Beyonce literally just was like, I'm gonna come out in your performance and I'm gonna debut my new song. That's gonna happen. But Beyonce, I wanna show you. No, that's gonna happen. Bye. That's literally how that happened. I just thought that was so tight. Like, she literally bogart her way into that performance. But yeah, number two was definitely the 2013 Beyonce performance. I mean, I can literally give her the motherfucking number two spot because of the end of time selection of that performance alone. And I'm just gonna leave it at that. Number one. And you know, I said this list could be a little inaccurate because I do have to put Prince. I mean, oof, bitch, I just said who's number one! It's Prince. I mean, obviously, that motherfucking halftime show in 07. Okay, so you know, as I was doing the research for this, I did find out that after the titty was, you know, after the titty took over.
you know, in 05, 06, 07, 08, 09, 2010, it was nothing but like rock bands and rock artists and, you know, artists that fucking middle America would not like bat an eye over. And just, I think it's crazy that Prince is considered one of those artists. But yeah, he was a part of the, basically the old fuck, you know, league of tree, the old fuck group of motherfuckers that was performing at the halftime show for all those years when the titty took over. So, and I think it's so crazy on another random note that the masked singer is the one that got the halftime show. I mean, you know, I told you I was going to keep doing that. I think that it's crazy that the masked singer is the show that got the coveted spot of coming out with a new episode of your show after the Super Bowl goes off. You know that that show's going to get some serious fucking ratings, and it's going to be on for another season just by getting amazing fucking ratings for the debuted episode. You need to be motherfucking trying to lick a white person's ass over that Terry Crews instead of the motherfucking motherfuckers at America's Got Talent, because who the fuck is still watching that shit? But number two is Beyonce, number one is Prince, and, you know, Prince was a part of the old fucks that were performing at the Super Bowl because the titty took over. And I don't think that Prince is a part of the old fucks, but, you know, Paul McCartney, The Who, Rolling Stones, them people performed, you know, the years prior to 07 and after 07. But that year, just him with the silhouette, the fucking cymbal guitar, it was raining, and this nigga, his hit song is Purple Rain, you know? So it was just a moment of moments, and then he looked fucking amazing. Hair was laid the fuck. Dancers was there, you know, same dancers that's always been there. The fucking, wouldn't it have been iconic if he had them twins that he always had back in the fucking day? And I don't even know if he did, because I can't remember, but that would have been so iconic if he did. Oh my god, that would have been so iconic. But he literally performed everything. Song selection was amazing. One thing I just, it's so weird about Prince's career and songs, you know, because, you know, you have, like, two type of careers when you're an artist. It's, like, the career that Middle America loves, which is, like, what the fucking halftime show and Super Bowl loves to cater to. And then you have, like, real fans that love you, that know all the songs. Songs that you hate performing for Middle of America. Like, Beyonce songs would be Crazy in Love and Single Ladies. And now I feel like it would also be Formation. You know, Rihanna songs are like Umbrella, We Found Love, you know, Please Don't Stop the Music. Basic songs that, like, everybody knows from an artist. And Purple Rain and I Get Crazy and, I mean, Let's Go Crazy and all of that, Baby I'm a Star, all of that is the songs that everybody knows by Prince. What's just so sucky is that it's all from, like, one album. Iconic, but it's like, damn, you just performed in one song, all these songs from one album. That's weird, but that motherfucking halftime show was the best halftime show, and I just think it's so weird that my favorite halftime show of all time is literally a part of the years of, you know, like, censorship. Like, the years where the word wardrobe malfunction was plaguing the fucking halftime show committee people. Like, that word, that probably was a word that was not even allowed to be said when you were fucking working on the halftime show during those years. Because from 05 to 2010, it was literally groups and artists that white America, middle America would not give a fuck about performing. And I just would love to go back and see how the ratings were for those years. Because you never hear like, oh yeah, during the 06 Super Bowl, we have the highest ratings. You never hear that. I don't even know if the motherfucking ratings was in the 100 million marks like it'd be now. So yeah, that was my top 10 halftime shows of all time. You know, this list most likely will be updated. Shit, I might come back next year and do, you know, this could be an annual episode thing if you would like it to be. The fact, because, which is going to lead me into my next topic, you know, this happens every year and we're going to need a performer for next year, and I'm going to definitely add J-Lo and Shakira into my top 10 list when I read the shit off next year. See if I'm a real motherfucker and the shit change, okay? Because that'll tell you. Because I've done a list like this on my YouTube series, which is still up on YouTube, you know, Official King Cofield, that's the channel. And the list was very similar to this, you know, some of the shit's changed because I've gotten older and I've went back and watched, but my number one has always been Prince. That halftime show is something about it. I love that halftime show. What pisses me off, though, is that you bitches at NFL, y'all want to have the behind the scenes at a halftime show, and Prince is not even on there talking because he's dead, but y'all don't want to have the actual performance. That's what's annoying. You have to search high and fucking low. And when there's a fucking thing called YouTube that's a thing, you shouldn't have to search high and fucking low for any video of anything. I'm just saying, unless it's porn, and it's a certain video that you don't remember the name of, which I am fucking currently going through. But, yeah. So, who should perform at the halftime show next year? Questions that need answers. Now, I think that, I mean, this is just who I think could perform at the halftime show. Y'all might throw tomatoes at me, and I feel that you probably already have, you know, by me putting Madonna above Michael Jackson and Janet on the top 10 halftime shows of all time. But I feel that we can have fucking a Taylor Swift, you know, since it's really not about being a good singer or a performer. We could have a Taylor Swift. We could have a Rihanna. You know, if you want to go the good performer route, we could have a Pink. Usher. If you want to go and make history by having the first rapper to headline, you know, to be the halftime show, star of the show, go ahead and do it and put Jay-Z or Kanye West or Lil Wayne or Eminem up there. Come on. You could even put Drake up there, but I wouldn't watch it because I don't really care about that particular artist. I feel that he's kind of boring and makes the same kind of music. But, definitely talented. But, yeah. And no, because I just feel that it needs to be a legend. You know, if Britney Spears ever was to come back and shut the game down, she could get up there and, you know, sing along to her songs. And if you wanted to do some collaborational type things, you know, we can maybe get that whole hip-hop thing that the Migos and all of them were talking about. Since it really doesn't matter how long you are in the industry to perform at the Super Bowl, because Bruno Mars is like 5 years in, and you know, and everybody knows the Migos. They have worldwide appeal. Even the fucking middle America loves them because all their fucking little kids know and love dabbing, even though they don't realize it. Talking about drugs. But yeah, I feel that we could even get the hip hop you know quartet ensemble of a performance next year, if we want to do that. If we even want to go back with the movie themed shit, I'm sure Us 2 will be out by then, and we can go with an Us themed halftime show, a Black Panther 2 themed halftime show, a Little Women a Little Women themed halftime show, a Bohemian Rhapsody themed halftime show. You know, as much as I love the legendary, you know, bands like Queen and all of them, is that really Gina Rodriguez in a fucking halftime show commercial? Come on, get this bitch out of here. It's fucking Black History Month. We should not have to see this bitch. But I think that, you know, we could have some motherfuckers like Queen, remaining members that are alive, because Freddie Mercury is not. Of course, I mean, who doesn't know that? I'm just getting into them, so if you would ask me this like 10 years ago, I would not have known that. But, yeah, the movie definitely just was like, oh my god, I have to get into this group. I, of course, you know, always knew of them, and then definitely knew of them because of Gaga. But, man, when I say that them motherfuckers are some talented motherfuckers, and it's rare that it's everybody in a group that can sing, but with Queen, all of them motherfuckers can sing. And then, the people who really ain't the singers, they play the fuck out of the instruments they play. Like, and then I think the dude is a singer and the drummer. Like, and he was the dude that's doing the Galileo. Like, don't even get me started. Because me and my best friend have been obsessed, like, since, like, you know, winter of 2019. Like, since winter started, we've just been so fucking obsessed with Queen. But, you know, if they wanted to do some old rock bands, you know, is Good Charlotte still around? Like, if they wanted to do, oh my god, what if they did, like, a 90s tribute type thing? Like, just 90s artists, you know? Or early 2000s artists. That would be some dope shit. I would enjoy that. I really would enjoy that. Or, no, I don't want to see no boy bands, old boy bands. That's just corny. But I'm thinking this 90s thing could be some shit. Because I'm really obsessed with collaborations all of a sudden. Like, this Shakira J-Lo performance really got me open to some collaborational type shit. Do I feel that legendary people like them should be collaborating? No, because they feel they really deserve their own moments, like 12 whole minutes. But this was some good shit to see. I'm not gonna lie, I loved this motherfucking halftime show. I really did. And I'm just feel like I'm loving things. Like the Grammys, I loved it. And I haven't loved the Grammys in so fucking long. The halftime show, I loved it. And I haven't liked the fucking halftime show since fucking Bruno Mars. Like I mean, well, since Lady Gaga, but you know, like that's really had me excited. Literally, it was Bruno Mars. No, well, I'm still lying because Formation, of course, had me excited, but whole entire halftime show, it was Bruno Mars. Period, point blanketing. And I'm just so motherfucking excited because I'm just excited to see whose sales are gonna rise and whose are going to moderately rise. But yeah. Amazing, amazing, amazing job by both of the ladies. I'm hoping that next year is just as exciting. And I'm hoping that you listen to my podcast every Monday when I drop the episodes. Music on My Mind, Episode 1, King Cofield. Follow me on Twitter at King Cofield, Instagram at King Cofield. You can also check out that YouTube series that I mentioned, Official King Cofield. If you ever want to follow me or find me, you know, like a TikTok or anything, it's King Cofield 93. But for the most part, it'll always be King Cofield, KingCofield. Make sure you check out my podcast with my best friend, The Royal Hour. We also will be having a podcast coming out when Insecure, the TV show, comes back out called Insecure and Douce, where we're reviewing each episode every Sunday or Monday. We don't really know about that yet, the like date it's gonna drop. But we're gonna be reviewing episodes drunk as hell, drinking Douce, having fun, kicking shit, talking shit, and we might even have some guest appearances. So, yes, this was fun. Hope you come back next week. And I need something cool to say at the end of this. So, suck balls. Okay, no, that was corny. Live good in, I don't know, Music on My Mind. That's good.